As we make preparations to hear the words of Scripture for us today, they come to us from John's Gospel, the 15th chapter. Please stand with me in body or in spirit. John writes these words for us. When Judas had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him at once. Little children, I'm with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." May God's blessing rest upon the reading and the hearing of these holy words for us today, for they are the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Gracious and loving God, for these words of Scripture, we are grateful. And now, O God, we pray that your presence will rest upon each and every one of us to give us a sense of rest, peace, and comfort from those things past, present, and yet to come. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, may they be pleasing and acceptable, O God, to you, our Rock and our Redeemer. For we pray in your holy and precious name. Amen. How many of you grew up with an old manual non-electric typewriter? How many of you still have one? Woo! I was looking for one this week. I didn't want to pay $60 for the one next door.
What's that?
Well, I don't want one now. I wanted it for today. Well, I asked some people. I couldn't find one. Remember that feel of those keys? Cling! That's what it was like, and your whole table shook when that keyboard went back. Each typewriter had its own feel, just like organs and pianos do. Then we shifted to those electric ones, those IBM babies. Wow! I knew a lady that could type so fast she could jam the IBMs. That's fast.
Yeah, she was the ball one. She could jam.
Yeah. Yep. And again, those babies would go and then they developed the auto correct button with the tape in them and all that jazz. But I remember on mine that didn't have that one, I would pull that sheet out and I'd be reading, oh, there's a typo. So then I'd put that baby back in and you'd go, how close, lined up. Thank God for my typing teacher in high school. She taught me to take a business letter that came in the mail and cut out that window. Put that paper back in and slide that window between the paper and the typing key. And when you had the letter you needed to correct where you thought you wanted it to be, hit that letter and it would type on your window and you could see how off or how close you were and make those minor adjustments to where you got it in place and then pull that out and stick in your correction paper. Don't you wish you knew that now? obsolete information you learned today. Yes. And then we shift to the keyboards. How many of you have just grown up on a computer keyboard? 1, 2, 3, 4, maybe 5, 6.
Good thing you didn't have your hand.
Yeah, I raised it for the typewriter.
Okay. Yeah, and then you have that typing away and clicking away and easy correcting and spell check and grammar check and all of that. We like the feedback that those keys give us. How many of you have a smartphone? You got a dumb one. How many of you, when you're typing an email, a text, or a document, do you get feedback on your keys? Do you get that little pulse? No? Do you know there's a setting for that? Yeah, there's a setting for that. Because the manufacturers realized after a while that we like that feedback to know that we hit a key. Might not be the right one, but we hit a key. That's called haptic feedback, H-A-P-T-I-C, feedback. I just found out how to turn mine on this past week and did that. So I now get feedback when I type on my keyboard. Jesus says in today's scripture, we all need feedback. And the feedback in the life of the church is that love says a lot about the church community. With haptics in mind, think about the text where this morning is part of Jesus' farewell discourse. Jesus says to his disciples, I'm giving you a new commandment that you love one another. And by this, everyone inside the church community, outside the church community, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. The phrase everyone will know suggests that the love for which Jesus is calling us is a kind of haptic feedback. Something that lets not only those receiving the loving action, but also those who are witnesses to it, to recognize that they are in the presence of a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, when Jesus was physically in the midst of the disciples, he talked about loving your neighbor. And then someone came to him and said, well, Jesus, just who is my neighbor? And then we get the parable of the Good Samaritan. Samaritans and Jews hated each other. Now, I don't want any names. I want you to zip your lips for a second. But if you could get away with murder one time, just once, who would it be? Don't say anything. Who would it be? That person is the Samaritan along the roadway that stops and helps you in your moment of need. That person is the one that shows Christ's love to you. That's the person to whom you are called to show Christ's love. Now, when Jesus is no longer physically present with the disciples, no longer physically present with us, Jesus is commanding his disciples to love one another. To have love within this community, within this body. Because the outside world is watching and paying attention and observing. When they act, when we act, when the faith community acts in loving ways toward each other, we then reflect Christ's love for us. Now remember that earlier in the evening to this to scripture that we just heard in John's gospel, that Jesus had just washed the disciples' feet to show clearly for them that loving someone means that you get on your knees and you serve them, regardless of who you are and who they are. And so, in effect, Jesus is now creating in this new commandment a new group. That new group later became known as the church, whose primarily identifying characteristic is that they love each other, even expressing that in service to one another. Beyond that, the group can be as widely diverse as it needs to be. Widely diverse in ethnicity, gender, language, nationality, age, political persuasions, most of the other things that society uses to give us labels, Jesus is saying it doesn't matter. Love them and welcome them. The disciples' love for one another is the essential identifying mark. As John says elsewhere in the scriptures, the letter 1 John, those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. As Jesus said in Mark's gospel, whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother. Love says a lot about the community, the church. It marks those who express such love as followers of Jesus Christ, as ones who are obedient to this new commandment, this new rule. It says that we know God. Love is that mark. Love is that haptic, that response. How well do we show love today? How well does it play out for us who claim to be disciples of Jesus Christ today? Is the power and presence of Christ recognizable in ways in which we love one another within the faith community? Do others see and know and understand, yes, they are responding Christ-like, they are a Christian? How does the outside world respond when we do such? Our loving one another is something that tells the outside world that the love of Jesus Christ for them is real because it's being shown through us. Jesus has commanded us to love one another. Let's be glad for those ways in our daily lives and living, those places in the church, in our homes, those places in the community where we are faithful and where we are obedient and when we are loving and the presence of Christ radiates and oozes forth from within us. Let's be mindful of those places where we fail. Where we fail to be as loving to one another as we should, as we ought to be. And let's figure out this week how we can do better. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we are grateful for your love. A love that hangs on to us and a love that will not let us go. A love that surrounds us every day. And a love that calls and commands us to go forth into this community, into the world, and to be and share that love that others might see Christ in us. Oh God, send your Holy Spirit before us. Go before us that we might be your loving, giving servants to the world. For we ask and pray in Christ's name. Amen.